Welcome to Trailblazers, where we explore the inspiring journeys of entrepreneurs and industry leaders who are redefining success and making a lasting impact. These game changers are driving progress in our region and around the world. I'm Melody Bradford, your host. Welcome back to Trailblazers, where we bring you the stories of local visionaries who lead with purpose, creativity, and community at heart. Today, I'm honored to introduce Ken Sidslow, Vice President and Chief Marketing Officer at St. Luke's University Health Network. With decades of storytelling experience and a deep sense of place, whether through award-winning media, heartfelt community program, or even caring for hives, Ken shows how inspiration flourishes when marketing meets meaning. Let's uncover how his leadership, innovation, and personal passions shape both health and storytelling in the Lehigh Valley. Ken, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm thrilled to be here.
Thank you. Can you share with us a little bit about your journey, both personally and professionally, that led you to the role as Chief Marketing Officer at St. Luke's? That's a big job. Yeah.
It's a job, though, that I'm very passionate about. You know, we were speaking just before we went live about cameras, and I don't know if you know this, but I've been an avid photographer my entire life.
Oh.
And I've had a camera in my hand probably since I was 7 years old. And when I turned 13, I learned how to develop black and white film.
Mm.
And that kind of is what got me into the healthcare field.
Uh-huh.
I was hired at age 15 to develop x-rays at Lehigh Valley Hospital.
Oh,
so
wow.
When everybody else was volunteering or candy striping in these hospitals.
Myself included.
I just happened to be there at the right moment when they were looking for someone who'd be willing to work on the weekend, spend 8 hours a day in a dark room and develop x-rays.
Wow.
So that job no longer exists. Obviously, you know, technology has taken that away. But that was my first foray into being in a hospital system.
Wow. Interesting.
And I stayed in that capacity of film developer and patient transport throughout high school and college. But it got me more and more interested in what was going on inside the business side of the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And after a couple of internships, when I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do with my life, I wanted to go and get my master's degree in business. I utilized my hospital experience to say, you know what, this looks, for the most part, like it could be a 9-to-5 job. I was naive, but I thought 9-to-5 job, so I could go out and follow my passions of photography and videography on the side.
Yeah.
And I didn't really get to do that until later in my career, but I ended up going and getting a master's degree, and I came back to Lehigh Valley. At the time, it was the Lehigh Valley Health Network was called Health East,
mm-hmm.
and I got into an administrative fellowship. And I had a very unique experience where I got to work with senior leadership and board trustees. I got to see the inner workings at the highest levels of a hospital system.
And this was for St. Luke's at the time?
No, this was for Lehigh Valley
okay.
Health Network.
Interesting.
St. Luke's was just one hospital system at the time, and one hospital, I should say. Health East was the parent company. It was one of the first large health systems in the United States that was forming right here in the Lehigh Valley.
Mm-hmm.
And when I joined as this administrative fellowship, again, got access to many different aspects of healthcare. By the time I completed that fellowship, they hired me into a marketing planning position.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. And so administrative fellowship, does that exist anymore? Does that opportunity, or is it now called something else?
It depends on the program, because I was in a business program that had a focus on hospital systems.
Mm-hmm.
I was at Duke, and the requirement was after you graduate, you had to spend a year in an administrative fellowship. Some hospitals still offer them, but that was a requirement of my graduation.
That sounds like a really great opportunity to be able to take advantage of.
It was. And it's funny, all that structure of Health East, that eventually became what is Lehigh Valley Health Network today.
Mm-hmm. So how did you end up at St. Luke's then?
It wasn't until a number of years later, because I worked at Lehigh Valley for, I worked until I was mid-20s.
Okay.
And in a marketing and planning capacity. And then I just decided to leave because I was 28 and I wanted to do other things. And I worked for some other hospital systems in the Mid-Atlantic. And then around age 30, I got recruited to a hospital system in the Hudson Valley region of New York, Vassar mm-hmm. Brothers Medical Center. And I started as a vice president of business development. In fact, I got started a new job, got married, and bought a house all within 4 weeks.
Oh, wow.
But that role as vice president of business development is where I really got introduced into marketing on a much larger, as a much larger part of my job.
Yeah. And how marketing dovetails into essentially fundraising, I would imagine, yeah?
Correct. But I was also involved in all aspects of revenue generation, new business development, physician recruitment, pharmaceutical mm-hmm. trials. I spent 10 years in that market, but really came to realize that the marketing aspect is what I enjoyed the most, the marketing, the public relations.
And looking back on, because you've done some great work, right? And we'll get into that in a second. But looking back, was there any pivotal point or campaign perhaps that just, you know, you're just most proud of and, you know, kind of rocked your own world from
yes.
a creative perspective?
Yes.
Do share.
I was I like telling this story to my students, but there are certain campaigns that really stand out and you learn from them. And what I like to tell is that it's always good to know the facts. But in marketing and advertising, emotion trumps facts.
Mm-hmm.
So the campaign that was defining was this advertising campaign for a number of orthopedic specialists. And obviously, they do great work. They do things to improve people's physical abilities.
Mm-hmm.
But the surgeries take place when people are basically under anesthesia, so they
sure.
don't know what's going on. So you have to show how these physicians and their skills improve your life. So I paired actual patients with real physicians. And one of the defining images was I took a more elderly woman who just wanted to be able to knit again. And she had hand surgery. And she was so ecstatic by the ability that she had, that she regained, that I photographed her sitting on a stool with this long scarf that she was actively knitting. And next to her on another stool, I had that scarf extended and wrapped around the neck of the actual orthopedic surgeon who had helped her.
I just got chills.
And that campaign went through the roof. And we continued with it. I had a senior couple who all they wanted to do was dance again. So I had photographs of them taken in a dancing studio where they were doing a waltz and the physician who had worked and replaced their hips was clapping.
Aww.
And then the final one was I had a physician who helped someone with back surgery so that patient could then do what he loved most, which was fish. So I literally had him fishing. We photographed in a small lake in Rhinebeck, New York. We had the patient fishing until he caught something. And then I had the physician in a white coat with waders and a net assisting the catch of the fish.
That's amazing.
And that campaign taught me that you need to show real people, real physicians, real patients coming together to improve the quality of life.
Mm-hmm.
And when you can show the emotion, then patients follow. And that was a very successful campaign with measurable results.
You know, that's not only appealing, but it's moving. And when you think about crafting brand narratives around a sector like healthcare, you know, you might think from a perspective of regulatory, you know, all these different things that might come into play. And how do you craft that brand narrative around that? But to be able to put it into moving terms is quite compelling. Was there any challenge that you faced or do face for marketing within that sector?
Yes. I mean, marketing, whether it's healthcare or not, right, it's again, I like to say emotion over facts,
mm-hmm.
and it's storytelling. It's all storytelling. And the key is to figure out how do you tell these stories so that patients understand what's in it for me.
Mm-hmm.
That's the challenging part in healthcare. Because you work with so many incredibly bright people in all aspects of, you know, whether physicians or nurses, they're very proud about what they learned in school.
Mm-hmm.
They're very proud about the technology that they use. They're very proud about the skill sets. But patients don't really understand that. So they understand the outcomes. So just like BMW doesn't advertise what's under the hood.
Mm-hmm.
They talk about it's the experience.
Exhilaration.
Right,
yeah,
the
exactly.
ultimate driving machine. My storytelling has to be something where I work with our physicians to make them understand, help them understand that the patients just really want to have a better sense of what the outcome is for them. So what's in it for them. And again, some of the simplest campaigns can be the most effective. So when we did a birthing campaign at St. Luke's, when I started St. Luke's maybe about 18 years ago, mm-hmm. we looked at what do patients want? Well, they want a good outcome. Mm-hmm. So we came up with a very successful campaign, which we use to this day. You expect, right? Expected right. mothers, you expect, sure. we deliver. Aww. And that fires on all cylinders, especially when you show real doctors, real patients, and successful births, yeah. successful babies.
That's awesome. So you lead a team, right? And you've earned multiple Mid-Atlantic Emmy Awards for various campaigns, but also for shows like Wellness 101 and Health Now. I've actually seen you and your lovely wife at the Emmy Awards when we were both in attendance. Yeah. St. Luke's is known for forward-thinking marketing. What campaign or initiative would you say, not that you're most proud of, but maybe that compelled your team, that really kind of, you know, made your team feel good about what they were doing? Can you share that?
I mean, yes, there's so many. If we do about 10 to 12 major campaigns a year. And so over the span of almost 20 years at St. Luke's, there are a lot of campaigns to pick from. There was a campaign that was also a little controversial a couple years ago. Our competitor was highlighting their physicians. They had taken very sophisticated photos of their physicians and putting them on billboards, and these physicians were staring into the camera, their arms were crossed, and they were basically saying, I have, you know, undertaken more surgeries than anybody else. They were bragging about their surgical numbers. Mm. We had to come up with a response to that. So my team and I, we assembled a campaign that would combat that, you know, more surgeries, the better. And we did focus groups because that's something we're very proud of too. We always test and try to assess what our patient populations, what appeals to them, what resonates to them. Mm-hmm. So we did this campaign where we came out swinging and said, better doctors, fewer surgeries. Now, it was controversial because my surgeons, all my friends and fellow teammates at St. Luke's said, how could you say this, right? Practice makes perfect. Okay. But on the other hand, from an emotional perspective, we were able to show these surgeons, we had focus groups where people were reacting to our competitors' advertising and said, well, those doctors, they look arrogant. They don't look, their arms are crossed. They don't look welcoming. Mm-hmm. And the fact is, we don't want surgery. Nobody really wants to have mm-hmm. surgery. So we were saying, no, we will look for alternatives. Mm-hmm. You know, the body parts that you're born with are probably still the original, you know, engineering specification. That's your best bet. And what we shared from the focus groups, our campaign was overwhelmingly positive. And then the reason my team was proud of it, because we get unsolicited feedback, good and bad, from the public. Mm-hmm. This campaign had phenomenal unsolicited feedback. We had letters, we had phone calls, we had emails, people saying that campaign spoke to them. Mm. That's what they were looking for, to work with a healthcare provider that cared enough to look at different options.
Mm-hmm. So. And let me just talk here for a quick second about, and we're going to get a little bit into the beekeeping yes. and how that kind of correlates to your leadership, but how important, because you've kind of created a culture of innovation and empowerment from a perspective of giving them latitude from a creative perspective, which not everybody's willing to give up the reins, right? And because, you know, brand content, when that falls on you, yes, right? It's yes. your responsibility if a campaign goes haywire. How important is it for you to empower your team and give them the latitude and encourage them and really bring out the best from that perspective, from a leadership yeah. perspective?
Well, as a leader, for me to be successful, I have to surround myself with people who really know their particular area, mm-hmm. and they need to know it better than me. And I consider myself, I'm a classic ENTP. I believe in these personality studies. I'm a big picture guy. I ask questions. I debate everything. But for me to be successful, I need to surround myself with people who really masters in the what I would call either the micro or the more specific areas. And I have a team of people who are experts in public relations and marketing, and my job is to let them do their job. And I've been lucky to work at St. Luke's, where I have a leadership team that trusts me and also enables me to do my job relatively unhindered, which you don't find in a lot of healthcare organizations. Mm-hmm. I mean, our president and CEO, who's a master, you know, Rick Anderson, he's a master strategician. He's also a master
Wonderful.
Of tactics.
Yeah.
You know, lets me do my job.
Yeah.
Because he knows that I can deliver, my team can deliver. So, you know, you mentioned the bees, right? In a hive, you have a, I'm a beekeeper, I spend a lot of time with bees, you have a queen bee. You have 100,000 bees in that hive. She sort of sets the mood of the hive. If she's angry, the hive is angry. If she's calm, the hive is calm. But those 100,000 bees all have specific roles to play. Some look for food, some collect pollen, some nectar, some feed the young. Her job is to watch over that hive, but let every worker do what they do best for the collective interests of the hive. That's how I look at leadership. That's how what I try to do with my team. I have a skillful team. Let them do their thing. I'm there to help guide, make sure we stick to priorities, you know, weigh in and edit where necessary. But I find people who know their craft, and I work with them.
Why bees? So you mentioned you're a beekeeper, yeah. right? Let's talk about that for a second. Tell me a little bit about that. So one of the hobbies that you have from a personal perspective yeah. is you beekeep, right?
Yes.
Tell me where that is. But also you walk in nature, and you've blogged about this or vlogged. Tell me a little bit about you as the person.
Yeah. I am always been an outsider. I mean, I like being outside. I like hiking, biking. I like being a nature photographer. And those interests brought me to a local organization, Wildlands Conservancy. Mm-hmm. And I volunteered there. I got on the board. And my experience at Wildlands really educated me on the importance of pollinators in our environment. In the world, you know, we rely on fruits, vegetables, trees, plants. Plants and trees, they can't lift roots up to go meet, mate, and replicate. They rely on an intermediary. That's a pollinator, like a bee. So if you don't have bees in place helping produce new crops, we're, as a population, in real trouble. So I just got fascinated by that whole concept. And as I got more interested and learned more about bees, I decided to give it a try. And I was very lucky because I found some bee mentors who were willing to teach me. And then I found my friends and neighbors at Black River Farms. They allowed me to set up hives. So I've grown from, you know, two hives to, given the year, maybe between 15 and 20 hives. Mm. And I find it strangely relaxing to watch all these bees work the way they do.
Small business opportunity with selling some honey, perhaps?
I actually give my honey to Black River Farms, and then they sell it.
Awesome.
I just appreciate the opportunity to utilize and have access to their property.
Let's go back a little bit because, you know, you mentioned the dynamic of a hive, right?
Yes.
Just a few years ago, 5 years ago, we came out of a huge challenge in the healthcare sector, that being the pandemic. How did you lead your hive during such a challenging time? And how did you put together campaigns that resonated and achieved goals that needed to be achieved at that point?
We had to be agile, we had to be dynamic, and we had to react very quickly to what was going on in the environment. I mean, we were under attack. We had this virus. We had no idea. We had people studying it. We had people providing care. Our job was to really shift from marketing into more of a communications, public relations mode. Mm. So as a company, we went to daily communications. So the clinical, people who ran clinical operations, people who studied the infectious disease, the nursing, the physician component, all met regularly. And marketing was right there from a public relations role at the table. So when new developments occurred, we were able to cascade that message very quickly. And our role as the marketing public relations communications team was to make sure that messaging got out to the public via our website, via social media, being phone blasts that we helped develop with our IT department. Internally, we started to use Microsoft Teams in a way that we had never really used it before.
You had a special partnership,
did you not? We
did.
We became like the darling of Microsoft. They highlighted our activities all over the country, put us in their ads because we used that Teams environment to cascade and communicate messaging to our entire 20,000 plus employees, and to make sure everybody was working off of the same script. So technology, that was new, we employed quickly. Everybody became focused, stayed on point. They had their specialist roles, but that technology and the need and the recognition to over-communicate came into play.
I remember I was at PBS at the time, and, you know, we were struggling to kind of, like, feature you on some pieces that we were doing from a video perspective, and Teams was the platform that you guys needed to use. And, you know, we were like, well, what about this? And what about this? And no, we can't do that. We're going to stick with Teams. And I remember the partnership, and I was like, wow, you've gained that kind of exposure to that brand and kind of, you know, put us on the map from that perspective. St. Luke's integrates media and outreach branding across events and communications. And you guys are huge and wonderful community partners. What does success look like from that perspective? And why are you so driven to, you know, create that community presence, not just from a healthcare perspective, but supporting things that, you know, provide brand recognition, but also put you in the right place at the right time?
Well, with 23,000 employees now, we are actually the largest employer in the Lehigh Valley. So our staff, our colleagues and teammates are your neighbors, right? We are all part and parcel of the Lehigh Valley. So it's important for us to continue to work with and partner with community groups, not only to sort of help raise the level of the health and wellness of the population, but to make sure those other organizations that need our help, you know, we're there for them, because individuals need to have access to healthcare, and you want a healthier community that elevates everybody. So that's why we work together. That's why we partner. In fact, that's why we have a show with WDIY as well, actively High Valley. And it helps spread our message. You know, it relieves the burden of our marketing team when we work cooperatively with others. So I'm always on the search for, you know, the next Reese's, where we can take peanut butter and pair it up with chocolate and make a new product. That's how I look at marketing.
As we look at the future of healthcare and healthcare marketing, and we look at innovation and how you've kind of remained really nimble, how do you see AI coming into that role and making a difference? And what do you think is next from that perspective?
Well, I think AI is here, and I'm positive about AI. I think it is a tool. You know, I think back sometimes to my father, who was an architect. He came home one day, and I remember I would watch him with a slide rule. He would always use a slide rule. And he came home one day with this item that was about the size of a shoebox, and it was a calculator. All it did was addition, subtraction, multiplication, division. But he said, this is going to change everything. That's how I see AI. It is here. It's going to enable us to, I think, produce press releases, articles, social media much more rapidly. It's on us as individuals and human beings to make sure that the work product still comes out. But I would embrace AI and use it much more aggressively. And I think for me as a marketer, the future is really where marketing and technology come together. You know, I always tell somebody who wants to be in marketing, okay, you also have to have a good sense of IT. And for me, the more we can use, whether it's AI or technology, to understand the needs of our patients, the better. If I can identify patients who are already within our system, but use those tools to sort of see what potential future they have, you know, if you're a diabetic, for example, I want to make sure that I'm using technology to make sure that those diabetic patients have access and updates on everything, every service that we have that they could avail themselves of. I think that's how we can be a good, better partner to individuals and the community.
Yeah.
By over-communicating our services.
Yeah, and it's a new way of communicating, but also gathering information and just using that as a key tool. But let's just talk quickly about collaboration and the partnerships. You have a really strong relationship with ASR Media Productions. Yes. Ashley Russo joined us on a former episode. How important is collaboration within your role and within our community?
I think it's essential. I mean, again, great storytelling, lots of stories. There are, in my personal case, I had ideas to create television shows. I had support of my colleagues at work to do it. I had lots of talented people to work with, but not everyone had the skill sets that, say, someone like Ashley had. And when I met Ashley and I talked to her about what my vision was, she saw it and she executed it. So I love to say that I had an idea, but she made it come to life. Mm-hmm. And she and her team made it come to life incredibly well. We have a good working relationship with Jeff Hartney, someone else mm-hmm. who we've won Emmys, you know, Wellness 101. Mm-hmm. He had an idea and he came to me. I like to say I was smart enough to recognize he had a really good idea. And then together we worked on how to make his vision come to life and support the health aspects by giving him access to people on my team and within the hospital who could help take his show to the next level. Mm-hmm. So it's a give or take. And that also makes it more interesting because you bring new ideas in and you find people to work with who share your vision. And that just makes it fun.
Win-win for everybody.
Win-win for everyone.
So now I would be remiss if I didn't mention that here we are on your birthday. Happy birthday, by the way.
Thank you.
What's next for you from a personal perspective? Do you have any personal aspirations? Do you have any more? Do you want to get into anything professional? And what does success look like? And what advice would you offer leaders, other leaders?
I think keep pushing boundaries and be open to where ideas take you, right? For me, I love what I do. I love working at St. Luke's. I love teaching. You know, I would like to continue to teach with Muhlenberg or other programs if possible. Personally, I really want to see where AI goes. And I want to be on the forefront of using AI to do storytelling like it's never been before. I've been lucky to be able to say I'm one of probably the first healthcare marketers to really produce television shows on a regular basis. I haven't found other hospital systems that have done that. And I've be open to where interesting, innovative, unique projects take you. I mean, look, we work with a local vendor to create a beer that celebrated our 150th anniversary, you know, Lost Tavern Brewing at 1872. It was one of their best-selling beers.
Wow.
And our employees love it. Everything in moderation. But but that keeps it interesting to me.
Yeah.
And as you know, I like to hike and I like to bike and I just want to keep having more of those adventures.
Yeah. So. And so as you look forward from the teaching perspective, because we didn't really touch on that much, and you said you want to do more. So you're doing it with Muhlenberg, but what is it that you're focusing on?
It's marketing. It's a healthcare marketing class. It's for continuing education students. It's in the evening. It's a survey course of marketing using real-life examples. We work out of a textbook. I use a lot of current case studies and some older ones. I mean, I think the class favorites is the old Pepsi Challenge. You know, mm-hmm. If everybody liked Pepsi and the Pepsi Challenge, why did Coke continue to outsell Pepsi? So we talk about that. And I try to bring guest speakers in for every class that reflect and build upon what they read prior to class.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I wanted to throw that in there at the end here because I think it's a really important thing as leaders continue to move on from, you know, their roles or whatever they're doing in their own way. You know, it's important to educate the next generation and kind of let them know how to get it done. Ken, thank you for letting us walk through your health messaging, creative innovation, and even your apiary with you today. Your story reminds us that leadership is about believing in the narrative, nurturing growth, and caring deeply for both people and place. To our listeners, may Ken's blend of media mastery, authenticity, and quiet nature wisdom spark something in you, whether in your work, your walks, or your storytelling. Until next time on Trailblazers, keep telling the stories that matter.